Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Third Ward and service for Sister Nola Carling. I'm Bishop Wright. I'll be conducting today. With me on the stand, I have our stake president, Brother President Bryce Bosworth, and my first counselor, Troy Johnson. I would like to thank Sister Sue Ann Thompson for providing our prelude music today, and Sister Pamela Gee will also conduct our music. Prior to this service, Neil Carling, Nola's son, gave the family prayer. We will begin our service by singing hymn number 129, Where Can I Turn for Peace? Following which, Brother Rod Mosher, son-in-law, will give our invocation.
Our kind and gracious and eternal Heavenly Father. Father, we're grateful for this beautiful day. We're grateful for the privilege to come and to honor Nola for the wonderful spirit that she had, for her kindness, her gratitude, her humility. So grateful for the time we've had with her, for all that she's taught us, for all the wonderful blessings that she has bestowed upon us as her family. Now, Father, we pray for those that will participate in this program, that their minds will be enlightened and that they will communicate and be able to deliver the messages that are the desires of their hearts. Now, Father, we pray for thy spirit to be with us, that all will be edified and uplifted, as we continue to sojourn this life. Father, we pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. The program will proceed as follows. We'll first have a life sketch by Carly Jarrett Walker, a granddaughter. She will be followed by tribute and memories by Sherry Mosher and Diane Carling, both daughters. They will be followed by a piano medley entitled Well With My Soul by Sherry Carling's daughter-in-law, and we'll proceed to that point.
Our beloved mother and grandma. Nola Ann Stevens Carling, 86, passed away peacefully on the morning of May 8th, 2026. Nola was born in Logan, Utah, at the Cache Valley General Hospital on August 12th, 1939. Her parents were Herbert Marion Stevens and Leora Lamb of Hyde Park, Utah. Nola was the beloved youngest of six children, having one brother and four sisters. Her siblings are Geneva, who is 21 years older, Evelyn, 19 years older, brother LaVon, who is also known as Butch, was 11 years older, Marion was 10 years older, and Thelma was 8 years older. With such an age difference, Nola had many mother hens that adored and loved her. It was not long after her birth that she had nieces born. Grandma Nola shared that Margaret Alley, just 4 years younger, felt more like a cousin than a niece, and they grew up together becoming good friends as well as family. Nola grew up in a home where she learned the principles of faith, hard work, community, and devotion to family. In 1962, Nola's co-worker Linda Carling set Nola up on a blind date with her brother Grant. It didn't take long for them to fall in love and realize they wanted to spend the rest of their lives together. Grandpa had one concern, however. Both of them were the same age, except between the months of August, after Nola had her birthday, and November, when Grant had his. Wedding announcements were printed in the paper, and Grandpa told Grandma that they couldn't get married between those months because he wasn't going to have the paper print that he was marrying an older woman. Nola married Grant Assel Carling on July 27, 1962, in the Logan LDS Temple. In my time spent with Grandma and Grandpa, they shared their engagement story with me, and I thought I would share it with you. When Grant and Nola started dating, Grant gave Nola his class ring. She wore it frequently and loved having her beau's ring to show her commitment to him. One day they were on a drive below Old Main, and Grandpa asked for his ring back. Grandpa was terrified he was breaking up with her, but she promptly learned it was because he was asking to replace it with an engagement ring instead. They shared a beautiful life together, full of love, respect, humor, and joy, until Grant's passing in December 2021. They were blessed with six adorable, wonderful children, two sons and four daughters. They are Doug and Sherry Carling of Providence, Utah, Sherry and Rod Mosher of Clinton, Utah, Diane Carling of Logan, Utah, Neil and Jana Carling of North Logan, Utah, Jan and Darren Jarrett of West Jordan, Utah, and Vicki Carling of West Jordan, Utah. Nola graduated from North Cache High School in Richmond, Utah in 1957. She led a very busy, full life as a teenager. She loved to be in style and always looked very nice. In addition to her chores and working to earn money, Grandma loved to play softball. She played left field and was quite good. Her team won many games and tournaments. Grandma was also an active member of the FHA, Future Homemakers of America, in high school. She was very close with her classmates and regularly has attended class reunions each year they are held. She counted them all as dear friends. She continued her education for a short time at Utah State University. It was here that she found employment working as a secretary in one of the college offices and met her future sister-in-law, Linda. In 1964, Nola became a mother when she gave birth to Doug, and she loved this job more than any other. She stayed home and created a home full of love and learning. During this time, she did odd jobs, ironing and babysitting to help earn a little extra income, while still allowing her to be at home. When she returned to Utah State University, working in the bookstore when her youngest, Vicky, went to school. As the supplies clerk, she worked with many staff and students over the years to bring in the things they needed to be successful at USU. Sherry commented that she loved regularly going to say hi to her mom when she was on campus for classes. Neil occasionally did the same, and even Jana went to say hi once she was working at USU. It was nice to have her close and know she was there for them. Grandma made many wonderful friendships here that lasted long after her retirement in 2001. Nola was an active member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. She graduated from seminary in 1957. She served in many ways in both her ward and stake, including serving in the primary young women program and as a visiting teacher, a role she truly cherished. She served several years helping members schedule the building and humorously called herself the calendar girl. She supported her husband, Grant, as he took on many church service roles that frequently required much of his time and attention. She and Grant served as church service missionaries for the LDS Employment Office after they retired. Noel had a wonderful sense of humor and quick wit. She frequently had coworkers, neighbors, and family laughing at her puns and one-liners, what her family lovingly called Nola jokes or Nola humor. One of my recent favorites was the day before she passed. For those of you who don't know, my husband is studying to become a gastroenterologist, the type of doctor that does colonoscopies. In some of her last words to us, she said, "It takes someone with a lot of courage to look at someone's behind." I look forward to quoting that for years and years to come. Grant and Nola loved camping, and during the summer months could often be found in their camper at Logan Canyon or in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Many of these trips were spent with Nola's sisters and their spouses, Ralph and Marion Stevenson, along with Joe and Thelma McCurdy, and Annette Anderson after Thelma's passing. After retiring, Grant and Nola served the community by delivering Meals on Wheels for the Cache County Senior Citizens Center, a service they loved doing together. Nola had a deep love for her family and supported her children and grandchildren in all that she could. She made each feel seen and cherished. Together, Grant and Nola built a family that loves each other and truly enjoys spending time together. Along with her immediate family, Nola is survived by her 20 grandchildren, 6 through marriage, but Nola didn't see them as anything but her grandchildren. Mac and Kate Carling, Patrick, Chris and Ashley, John, Hayden, Morgan, and Connor and Grace Mosier, Trinity, Taya, Tegan and Mia, and Nyla Carling, Carly Jarrett Walker and Weston, and Tyler and Jaden and Paige Jarrett, 6 great-grandchildren, 1 great-great-granddaughter, sister-in-law and spouse Jim and Eva Carling Johnson, sister-in-law Annette Anderson McCurdy, and many nieces and nephews. We are all grateful for the many memories we share of Grandma Nola and for the close family connection she fostered. My husband and I named our daughter Jensen Nola and we will be sure to install in her the same Christ-like attributes and qualities Grandma so consistently demonstrated. But I don't think we'll have to work very hard to instill the spice. That came naturally. She is preceded in death by her parents, Herbert and Leora Siemens, brother LeVon Siemens, 4 sisters, Geneva Meekham, Evelyn Alley, Marion Stevenson, and Thelma McCurdy, along with each of their spouses. Her in-laws, George Isaac and Pearl Astle Carling, along with all of her husbands, Grant's siblings, and spouses, excluding Eva, who she counted as and loved as her brothers and sisters. The family wishes to thank the amazing staff in the Logan Regional Hospital ICU and TCU departments, along with the staff from Intermountain Hospice that helped Nola in her last days. We also wish to thank the staff of Comfort Care for their assistance as we needed over the last 3 years. We love her, we miss her, but we are happy for her in this next step of her eternal progression.
That wasn't good to have her go before us because I was trying to not cry. When we were trying to decide who was going to speak today, we all, not one of us wanted to, because none of us are speakers. None of us like to be in front of people. Now, don't confuse that with being talkers, because we all love to talk. In fact, one of our cousins has coined it as being a car lingerer, because we like to linger and talk for as long as we possibly can. So it was so wonderful to be able to talk and enjoy being with all the people that were here today. Mom was loved by everyone that she met. It didn't take long to fall in love with her because she was just so sweet and so kind, as was mentioned earlier, to everyone that she came in contact with, whether it would be family or friends. She truly loved everyone. But today we want to share just a few of the qualities and characteristics of our mom that made her who she was. One of those things was that she was very innovative. As a little girl, her older sister Marion got sick one time, and Mom thought it would be a good idea to get her a drink of water because she was sick and she needed something. And as she mentioned, I think Grandma or Marion was like 10 or 11 years older than Mom. So Mom went and got her water and brought it back to her, and Aunt Marion drank it. And then when Mom noticed that it was gone, she asked her, "Well, do you need more water?" And Aunt Marion's like, "Sure, go get me some water." And she did this several times. And after a few times, my aunt was starting to wonder where she was getting this water from, because she was quite little. And she finally asked, "Where are you getting this water from?" And she's out of the toilet. Needless to say, Aunt Marion did get better. She lived to the ripe old age of, I think, 90, so it didn't kill her. So I guess it's safe to drink toilet water, but I don't recommend it. She always did things to help provide for her family, so she, as was mentioned, so that she could stay at home and be a stay-at-home mom. One of those things was ironing. She would have people bring ironing. Back in those days, the old days, they used to actually iron all their shirts and sometimes even sheets and things like that. Well, they would bring her the ironing to do, and she would iron those things for them. And I remember as a little kid, they'd put water in a little glass with a sprinkler on the top, and we'd get to sprinkle the shirts so that they were ready for her to iron. And she was always willing to do that. Another thing that she did was babysit, as was mentioned. She babysat a number of kids. Some of those we grew to really love, and some of those maybe not so much. One of them was our state president, Bryce. Or your state president, not so much mine, but he was a part of our family for a long time. She babysat him from the time he was a little baby for quite a while. And that was kind of fun memories. And as I mentioned, it was some of the kids we didn't love so much. And it was really hard for us kids because we had to share everything we had. Our home was open to them. But she was willing to do it just so that she could stay home and be with us. Another thing about our mom is that she was always an equal and fair with everything that she did. She always felt like everything should be fair for each one of us kids. And with six kids, that's not always easy. And every Sunday we would have a cake, and she would cut it in exactly 24 pieces so that every one of us got, because we had to include Mom and Dad too, every one of us got 3 pieces. And of course my brothers would just gobble theirs down, and then Vicky would wait to eat hers. So they were always begging her to eat hers, and she's like, no, you can't have my piece. And then 3 or 4 days later, she's like, oh, you can have it now. Another thing that was kind of fun is at Christmas time, she always wanted to make sure that we all had equal numbers of gifts. And one of the things she did, because there were so many of us and so many presents to wrap, that she would put everything in the box and then label them, and then Diana and I would wrap them for her, which worked great. And then one year, we had 2 names on there, one from the prior year and one from that year. We didn't know which one it was. We put the wrong person's name on it. So when they opened it up and it was, I think it was something feminine, it was our brother's, and they're like, what in the world? This is not my gift. But up until then, we never paid attention to what everybody else was getting, and that year we noticed. So then next year, we had her make sure that nobody got the gift that belonged to them. So she was so confused as she was trying to put the wrong gift in the right in the package and put the wrong name or the right name and have enough for everybody. But she was always about fairness and equity. But that was truly one of our memorable Christmases.
When I was in elementary school, I had a teacher that would was teaching us how to knit and crochet. And of course, I'm the problem child because I can't do it the same way as everyone else does it. And so the teacher was like, oh, what am I going to do? Anyway, I went home, and my mom, she sat with me and taught me how to knit and crochet from what she knew. And then the next day, when I returned to school, the teacher was like, well, she goes, I'm not sure that we're going to be able to do this, because she goes, but I sat in front of a mirror and tried to do it with the opposite hand and everything. And I said, don't worry about it. My mom and I figured it out last night. So anyway, so I was able to knit and crochet. So my mom, another trait is she was always fashionable. She always, like Carly said, she always had like Janssen sweaters, which were the greatest sweaters at that time. But she had to earn her own money, and so she would pick beans, and she would get paid 2.5 cents per pound. And so it took a while for her to get that, but she actually was able to get her sweaters and matching shoes with that money that she earned. And then for the funeral and stuff, she was worried about the dress, because she's like, oh, I just can't wear my old dress. And so we're like, we'll get you a new one. That's fine. Anyway, as we were talking about this, my youngest niece, she is standing by the bed, and she goes, I'm a little concerned that you're getting her a temple dress, because I don't think she's going to be able to attend the temple very soon.
Okay, it's my turn.
Yeah.
Mom loved to travel. She was a world traveler. When she graduated from high school, she got the opportunity to go to New York with two of her very best friends. And that was one of the highlights of her whole life, I think. Other than her family, of course, we were the true highlights. But she talked about that for a long time, and always shared pictures of that, and just really enjoyed. She got to do so many things that she had never been able to do, because that was a long ways to go for a country girl that had grown up on a farm. But it was truly a fun memory for her. And several times after her and Dad were married, she got to go to conventions with him. One I remember, actually there's only a couple that I truly remember. She got to go to Cincinnati, Ohio, and I thought that was the coolest place ever, because my mom got to go there. And then she got to go to Spain as well, which was really, really awesome. But we loved to hear the stories that they happened while they were there, and she always would bring us a souvenir, which was obviously the very best part of it all. But her favorite, as was mentioned in the life sketch, was going camping. With us as kids, when we were just younger, we used to go with our aunts and uncles, and we'd pack up our tents, because that's all we had, and we'd go just even for a Friday night to go up and cook hot dogs and camp out overnight with all of them. And I can only imagine that it was a lot of work to do all that, but they loved to do it, and it was one of the great memories that we had. And then eventually her sisters got trailers, and then Mom and Dad got a camper, and so they continue to go even more now. Us older kids were older and mostly almost out of the house, but I remember going camping with them a few times, all 8 of us in that camper, and we all slept in that camper, believe it or not. The mom and dad would sleep on the smallest bed that was the table, that was probably not much more than a full-size bed, if it was even that. And then us two older girls would sleep up on the top bunk with the two younger girls at the other end, and then one brother would, Neil would sleep on the floor, and Doug would climb through the window and sleep in the truck, in the bed, the cab of the truck. But we all slept in there, and we had so many fun memories from that. It was close quarters, of course, but it was fun.
So along with those trailer camper trips, the three sisters would, with their husbands, would always go to Tony Grove for a week, and then they'd come home just long enough to wash everything. And then they'd head up to Jackson Hole, and they had so much fun there. And people would always ask them up there, it's like, how do three sisters always come and do this? And it's like, what we do. And then the one sister, she passed away. But when Annette joined, they continued to do that, and she was just like a sister anyway. So they continued to do it for, I don't know how many years, but quite a number. If I said 20, that would probably be pretty correct, but I don't know that for sure. They did go to the colonies once with cousins, and there was I think there was 4 brothers and 1 sister that they all had their trailers, campers, whatever. But they went down to the colonies, and they pulled up to church. And you guys can nod your head if this is incorrect, because I wasn't there. But they pulled up in front of the church, and all of a sudden, all these like 10 girls came piling out of the back. And the look on the people's faces was, oh my gosh, this can't be like from one person, can it be? So anyway, but they had a fun time. And then after Dad passed, we were able to take Mom on a few trips, and she was always like, just leave me home, I'll be fine. And I'm like, I can in good conscience just leave you here. I'm like, I'd rather have you with me so I can take care of you. And so along with the family that we were with, it made it so that we could go. We went on a cruise to Mexico, and she loved that. But when we were going on our excursions, we were like, okay, well, how are we going to get Mom to be able to, you know, take care of herself? So we arranged for her to be able to get room service. We showed her where the button was. And so throughout the day, she was ordering stuff. And evidently, she ordered, you know, more cookies and cheesecake. And we're like, how did you get all this stuff? And she goes, I just pushed the button and they brought it to me. So she kind of wanted us to go on excursions after that more often. So, and then we did take her to Hawaii. Vicki and I, especially, we went lots of times, and we would tell her about it when we would get home, and she's just like, we just thought she might want to go. So that had its own things that we had to worry about, but she was willing to go, and we had fun there. Oh, and I forgot, on the cruise, her favorite thing on the cruise was the ice cream, and then nieces and nephews or grandchildren that would go get it for her throughout the thing. We took her to St. George, we took her to Las Vegas. And even though she said she wouldn't have fun, she always had fun and was glad that she went afterwards.
Yeah, she was always one that wanted to be where the fun was, and she was making the fun happen. She also loved her family, as was mentioned. She supported every one of us kids in all of our activities, and she did her best to support each one of her grandkids as well. One of her last opportunities to be out was to go to Paige's. Can't look at Paige because she'll make me cry. She got to go to Paige's dance. I don't know what they call it. I say dance recital, but that sounds like little kids. It was for high school, and she was amazing. She's an amazing dancer. But Mom couldn't hear, and she couldn't see, and we couldn't get her close because the handicapped seating was clear at the back. So she couldn't see what was going on. She kept saying, you should have just left me home. We said, no, this is for Paige as much as it is for you. And it was such a blessing that she got to be there for Paige, and it made a big difference for Paige. And I know Mom was glad that she got to be there, even though she complained a little bit about having to climb in the car and go, because she thought she was more work than she was worth, but she was worth a lot. One of the things that as a family always do is we like to take pictures, and anybody that knows us, especially our spouses, know how much we love to take pictures. And Mom at one point decided that she was going to start taking pictures for us, but we soon found out she's not the best photographer. She usually would cut off our heads. I'm not sure how she missed those, but she did. So we got to the point that we would all squat down so our feet and our heads were all in the same place so that she'd make sure to get all of those in the picture. And she got a little bit better after that. Another thing that she was really good about is her humor. We all loved Aunt Nola's humor. And we called it, like we said, Nola humor. She was really good with one-liners, lots of puns. And the best part of all of the humor and these jokes that she would tell is, even though us kids would usually roll our eyes at her, she would always laugh. And she would laugh heartily at her own jokes. And so you couldn't help but kind of laugh. And the funny thing is a lot of her one-liners that we rolled our eyes at, as older kids, we find ourselves saying those same one-liners, which is kind of sad. Go ahead.
The next thing is that she was a great cook, but it's funny because even my sister-in-law just realized the other day that she wasn't always a good cook. When she first got married, her parents were like, I hope you live because she can't cook very well. And so my grandpa, I was even like, well, you'll just have to come here and have dinner with us. And my dad said, you know, we'll make it. We'll make it together. And he was a good cook, so he was able to do that with her and help her to increase that ability. Plus, because her mom passed away within 2 years of her getting married, she wasn't able to refer back to her mom for advice as to how to cook things. And so she regularly would call Aunt Thelma or Aunt Marion to figure out how to do stuff. And so we're grateful for them because we got to have good food by now. Is that all I have?
I can just go fast. She was always giving. At every Christmas, she would make plates of cookies for all of her friends and neighbors, and she would make not one or two kinds of cookies, she'd make like 10 or 12 or more different kinds of cookies, and they were amazing cookies. But of course she couldn't keep them fresh that long, so she would freeze each batch as she got done and put them in big jars and put them in the freezer and warn us within an inch of our lives, do not touch those till I am able to make my plates. Of course, as six little kids, knowing that there's a freezer full of cookies, do you think we left those alone? Probably not. But we tried to be really careful so that we only took a few, so she maybe didn't know us. I'm pretty sure she probably knew that we had taken a few, but we always had enough for all those plates, so it was kind of fun, though, to have all those cookies. Another thing about our mom is she was the world's biggest worrier. I think she might have even taught the master class in it, because she was really, really good about it. But she was also obviously a really good teacher, because I think every one of us have got that from her. She always required when we would be with her that we call or text her when we got home. And if we forgot, she'd call us a few days later and say, "Are you still alive? Because I haven't heard from you yet." But even when we got married and moved out of the house, she made us let her know where we were going on vacation so she could continue to worry about us even then.
I have to share that I live three houses down from her. And she would always say, "You need to call me when you get home." I said, "You can stand out on the porch and watch me walk home, but I'm not calling you."
The funniest thing about all of that is she said that it paid to worry, because 100% of everything she worried about never happened. And so it really did pay off. So just so you know, if you worry about something, it won't happen.
Okay, so 12 years ago, she started to get a lot more sick and stuff. And so she ended up, you know, in the hospital quite a lot. And Jana was always her ambulance driver at first, in her little red car. And she continued throughout, but that was one thing that she did do from the very beginning. And like I said, she was there through the rest of it too. And so she was in and out of hospitals, but one time she was there for a long amount of time.
She was there for probably about 5 weeks straight, and that she'd even been life-flighted. So we thought for sure this was the time that we were going to lose Mom. And she even had what we thought was a stroke. And I know Jen and Vicki and I were the ones down that were the caregivers down there mostly. And we all sat together and decided we better call the family and tell them, "I think it's time to let Mom go, because she doesn't want to be a burden to anybody." And I knew that from talking to her. And the funny thing is the night before she was ready to go home, she was sitting on the bed just saying, "It's just a matter of time and I get to go home." And then the next morning she had what we thought was a stroke. And she didn't look good at all. And so we thought, let's call. And everybody said, including our dad, said, "It's okay. It's okay. Let her know it's okay." So Jan and I determined that the next morning we were going to go in and tell her, "Mom, it's okay. If you want to go right now, we understand." We walked into her room and she was sitting on the edge of her bed, putting on her shoes with help. But we're like, "Where did our mom go? Because this isn't the lady we left yesterday." And it turned out that it was something other than a stroke. And she survived and she was able to be here for another 10, almost 12 years after that. So we were blessed to have that time with her.
And she rallied back to, to take care of, help me take care of our dad, because he had Lewy body dementia, and he had his mean streaks, and she was able to be there with. But he totally, even though he didn't recognize her, he recognized her voice. And so if she said, "Grant, you're not going to do this," then Grant did not do that. However, if I said, "Dad, we're not doing that," he's like, "Yes, we are." And so I was very appreciative of that. And so she helped me through his passing. And then, she's done okay during the last 4 years, but she's had lots and lots and lots of stuff go on. And so,
just kind of in closing, one time my husband accused me, well, I had did something just like my mom used to do. And he said, he called me Shernola. And I was so offended. I'm like, "Don't you dare call me by my mom's name." And then the more I thought about that, I thought, what a greater compliment that he could have given me than to call me by my mom's name. And I'm so grateful for all that she was able to teach us, the example that she was. And I am so grateful that I can be known as Shernola and now Dianola Jan Nola and Vic Nola, and if Doug and Neil want the Nola added, they can add that as well. But so grateful for her and her example and her life and all that she taught us, and I'm so grateful for it to have been her daughter, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Three things I know about Nola. Number one, she never missed a hair appointment. We know this to be true. Number two, oh, she loved her family, and they came first, and so what? When I'm doing this musical number, the first of it seems a little weird, but she and I would look through the Reader's Digest songbooks, and she had a song that she loved that reminded her of Grant, and it was "Can't Help Loving That Man of Mine," so I had to tack it on.
Thank you, that was beautiful. The remainder of our program will proceed as follows. We'll have two speakers. The first speaker, Connor Mosier, a grandson, followed by Jana Carling, a daughter-in-law. We'll then have another musical selection, "I Am a Child of God," by grandchildren, listed as Mac and Kate Carling, Hayden, Morgan, Connor, and Grace Mosier, Serenity, Taya, Tegan, Mia, Nyala, Carling, Carly and Weston Walker, Tyler, Jaden, and Paige Jarrett. They will be accompanied by Mac Carling on the guitar. Following the musical number, Brother Troy Johnson, a family friend, will speak to us, and then I will add some closing remarks.
Morning, everyone. My name is Connor, as you heard, and I've been elected, I guess, as the representative for Nola's grandchildren. It's funny because I never campaigned for this position, but I'm happy to accept it. For the rest of my talk, I'm going to refer to Nola as Grandma, because to me and to the people that I'm trying to represent, that's who she was. She was our grandma. I'm going to try my best to share experiences and lessons that we all learned as her grandchildren. But I'm confident that words couldn't express the love that we have for Grandma and the love that she had for us. Grandma truly had such an impact on all of us. One that was truly indelible and one that was full of love and tender kindness. As I've spoken to the cousins, in fact, last night I spoke to them, and we came to this conclusion that our grandma's impact on us wasn't always one that was in the foreground. In fact, most of the time, I would say that she was in the background, quietly, doing anything she could to help us, to improve our lives, to improve our experiences. And I think that those background moments are the ones that truly had the impact on each of us. One example of this that seems kind of silly at first, but always spoke volumes, was the fact that our sweet grandma always had Laffy Taffy for everyone. In fact, I'm sure you guys saw the Laffy Taffy as you came in. I'll say it from grandma. The jokes on them felt like a bit of an extension of her humor and her joy, though I must say grandma's jokes were always a bit funnier than the Laffy Taffy jokes are. I guess another example that kind of shares with us this power that she had in the background was shared by my cousin Naila. She shared that her favorite memory of grandma, though not a specific moment, was the sweet humor that she shared, the one-liners that she always had that have been mentioned multiple times, like the Nola humor. Naila said it best when she said, "I can confidently say I've never been to grandma's house and not had a good time." Another example of this, where our grandma was working in the background for us, for our joy and happiness, was brought up by my cousin Tyler. He shared a memory of a game that we used to play. Me, Tyler, Tegan, and Mac used to play a game. We called it Madman. The entire basis of the game was that we would run from the madman. It was usually Mac, but it changed sometimes. From the basement, there was a bed in the basement that we used to hang out on. We'd run from that bed upstairs, grab some jelly sticks from our grandma's stash, and run back downstairs and try to get on the bed without being caught by the madman. And Nola's part in this was that she made sure those jelly sticks were stocked for us 100% of the time. And I actually roomed with Tyler in college, and I can confidently say that those jelly sticks are still some of our favorite candies. We love those jelly sticks. It's because of Grandma that we do. When she was in the foreground, our sweet grandma often had the biggest impact on us and our memories in the small moments, because it was in the small moments that we could feel her love the most. One example of this is the game Mousetrap. I don't know if you've ever heard of Mousetrap. I was talking to all the cousins last night, and we came to the conclusion that we all had a very, very similar experience with Grandma in the game Mousetrap. And that experience is that none of us know how to play the game, but we would play it with Grandma a lot. None of us know the rules at all, but she was happy to set it up for us just so we could push the little ball down the track and watch it go to the bottom. And then she'd reset it up for us so we could push the ball back down the track again. And she would do that over and over and over again for sometimes what felt like hours, but it was because she loved us. She just wanted to be with us, to spend time with us. And that's, I think, a recurring theme with Grandma, is that she loved her family and she just wanted to be with them. Whether or not, even towards the end when she couldn't maybe hear or see us, she just wanted to be in our presence and to be with us. That always spoke volumes, the love that she had for her family. Another example of this was shared by Serenity. She shared that one of her favorite memories of Grandma was going to Sunday dinners. Grandma would hold Sunday dinners every Sunday when she was able, and Serenity loved going. She loved the experience to be able to hang out with cousins, to hang out with Grandma and Grandpa. And she remembered this, that Grandma would always take account of her silverware after the family dinners to make sure that nothing was missing. And if something was, you had to answer the judgment bar of Nola. So, I guess another. I'm kind of just trying to share stories that I've heard from the cousins that they've shared with me to try and kind of share that experience that we had. Another one was shared to me by my cousin Carly. As you heard Carly say, she has a daughter, Jensen Nola, who Carly will tell you can be wiggly, can be feisty. But Carly remembers that when Jensen got with Grandma, when she was held by Grandma and Grandma stroked her face, that she would melt into that snuggle and she'd be calm. And I think that experience of being calm with our grandma was one that we all experienced. It was one that all of us could experience, maybe in a different way. We weren't necessarily in our older age snuggled by our grandma all the time, but she did bring a peace and a calmness to us. We all dearly love... Oh, no, sorry. As I've shared, she shared her love with us through treats. So often through treats, because what a better way to a child's heart than through a sweet treat? And honestly, to an adult's heart, but through a sweet treat. Much like the Laffy Taffy and the Jelly Sticks, one of Grandma's favorites was ice cream, as has been mentioned. She loved ice cream. She always had ice cream in the house, and she was always willing to share it with us. After dinner, of course, after we ate first. In fact, Taya shared a neat experience with us that stuck with her. One time, when Taya was... she was at a girls' camp, I believe, and she got really sick. She was thrown up, and she couldn't stay, so she came home, but her parents were actually in St. George, I believe, at a soccer tournament with Tegan. And so she went over to Grandma's house, and that's where she was, and Grandma was taking care of her, and she took a nap. And when she woke up, Grandma was there to tend to her, and Grandma asked, made sure, "Are you okay? Do you need anything? Do you want any ice cream?" And, of course, Taya, having been throwing up, said, "No, I'm good. I don't want any ice cream." But it was just the fact that our grandma was always there to offer us ice cream when we needed it, to offer us anything, the shirt off her back if we needed it. She was there to help us and to give us anything that we needed. And so often she did that for all of us. We all dearly love our sweet grandma. And I can share that each of us felt deeply the love that she had for us. And one final story that I want to share was shared by Tyler again. Was at a family reunion. Grandma used to have family reunions behind her house at the old church building that's where Ellis Elementary is. And so when we'd go, all the cousins, we'd hang out, we'd go and play hide and seek in the church building. But Grandma made sure, don't go in the chapel. We do not go in the chapel. That was a big rule for them. Make sure that you don't go in the chapel. And one time there was someone there that we didn't necessarily know. He's another kid our age, and we were playing with him. He was playing with us. We didn't know him, though, and he went in the chapel. And then Grandma came to us, and she was upset with us because he went in the chapel. We thought, what the heck? It wasn't even us. It wasn't even us. But I think being less upset with us, she was more respectful of the gospel and of Jesus Christ. And she had a deep love for Jesus Christ and the restored gospel. And it's with that I feel as though she would be disappointed and I'd be remiss if I didn't take opportunity to bear testimony. Then I know that our Heavenly Father loves us. And because our Heavenly Father loves us, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's through Jesus Christ that we can see Grandma again. And we can be with her again someday. I know that Jesus Christ loves us. I know that He made the ultimate sacrifice for us. And through that, someday we'll all be with our families again. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you all for being here and showing your love and support for us and for our beautiful mother. As the youngest of six by a large margin, Nola, Mom, Grandma, she was very much adored From things she's said over the years, I would dare say she was the princess of the family. And she had everyone wrapped around her little finger. This is not to say that she didn't have chores and responsibilities, but she was a little spoiled, greatly loved, and she knew it. I believe it is because of this that Mom knew how to love others and make them feel important and seen. She never did this in showy, flashy ways, but in many of her daily interactions with others. Perhaps this is why she and Dad met and fell in love so quickly. Dad saw not only the beauty inside, but the loving heart on the inside. And Mom found someone that treated her like the princess that she was and loved her well. I loved watching the two of them together. Dad always gave Mom his arm to hold when they went for walks. They cooked together in the kitchen, and I never heard them raise a voice against each other. They listened to each other and sought out the other's comfort. Mom dearly missed Dad and was ready to go be with him again. In John chapter 3, verse 18, it teaches, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Mom taught us how to love, not just with words, but in her actions. She did the things she could to make a lovely home and life comfortable for all that lived there. She sacrificed, she worked hard, and she also knew how to laugh, and she made a happy home. One action that showed her love was one night when Vicky was getting ready to go to her graveyard shift. She came upstairs and told Mom that it sounded like someone was outside her window. As it was raining, Mom grabbed an umbrella and went right outside. What she found was a man sitting in the grass, leaning against the house near Vicky's window, drinking and watching the neighbor's TV through the neighbor's window. Undaunted by this man and wanting Vicky to get ready in peace, Mom immediately said, "What are you doing here? You don't belong here. Go home." The man, seeing Mom's full 5'2" stature, her umbrella in hand, and her stern tone, immediately got up and left, leaving behind his whiskey bottle. Mom didn't just say she loved, she showed it. One of Mom's greatest love languages was through food. We've mentioned this. She loved to share. She was a great cook, and she loved to provide good meals for her family. The whole family was invited on Sunday evenings to dine at her table. We all had our favorites, not all the same favorites, but she made sure we each got them over the weeks that we were there. She always was concerned with everyone getting enough and constantly told everyone to get more. I remember one of my very first actions with Nola was at Neil's mission homecoming. I was getting a plate of food when she walked up to me and said, "Shirley, you can take more. There's plenty of food here. Get as much as you want." I was so confused. I went into the living room where Neil was and I asked, "Doesn't your mom know who I am? Why does she think I'm Shirley?" Neil went and asked his mom if she knew who I was, and she promptly answered, "Yes, that's Jana." So he asked her why she called me Shirley. Come to find out, she was using the word S-U-R-E-L-Y, as in, "You certainly could take more food. That there's plenty here." The whole family has laughed about this throughout the years, but it highlights Mom's love language by making sure everyone is full. Full-bellied people are happy and loving people to be around. Mom showed she loved by always supporting her family. She loved spending time with her siblings and Dad's siblings. You've heard about the camping trips. After Neil and I were married, we always spent summer holidays together with picnics at Ralph and Marion's cabin in the park. On Memorial Day, they did the barbecue at the church behind their house and always invited many extended family to come. Mom always made the best salads and desserts. The grandkids always planned and performed a show at this Memorial Day outing for everybody, and Mom always loved watching the grandkids. She showed up to the sports games, the dance concerts, the graduations, the weddings, and more. She loved being grandma and was warm and always warmly embraced each new grandchild, rather through birth or marriage. They were hers. Last week, as her health dramatically declined and she recognized she would be leaving soon, Mom called each child and grandchild to her that was there and let them know how special they each are and that she loves them so very much. Those that couldn't be there, she said, "Please let them know I love them." She did not forget one. She wanted all to know how much she loves them. Mom also admonished us all to don't fight with each other and make sure you still get together. Mom showed us what it means to make family a priority and love each other. Mom loved well. Nola was a woman of great faith. When she was pregnant with Neil, her due date came and went. Back then, when you went to the hospital, you paid in cash before you left. And money was tight, and they prayed they'd get the cash they needed for her to be able to deliver Neil in the hospital. They received a tax refund check in the mail, and then Neil was born, nearly 2 weeks after his due date. Mom said he just was waiting for the money, but it took great faith on her part to trust the Lord's timing and that all would work out. For the past 3 years, we've had the opportunity to have Mom live in our home and to help care for her. Not every day was an easy one, for myself or for Mom, but every day was a blessing. The greatest blessings came every time we got to hear her pray. She prayed so faithfully and with such a sense of close relationship with the Lord that every time it felt to me as if the angels in heaven all stopped to listen to her pray. She prayed as if the Lord was standing by her side, holding her hand. She loved him, and she knew that he loves her. Mom was truly faithful. An author unknown said, "Endurance is patience stretched with courage." Mom definitely had courage and patience to endure. In 2014, Mom started to have some serious health complications that Sherry and Diane talked about. Mom hated all the needles and poking and the surgeries, but she gritted her teeth and she went through it courageously. Because of this, it gave us another 10 years with her. It didn't come without challenges for her, though. From all of the surgeries, she ended up with a short bowel, a feeding tube for a while, and a hole in her side from the JG tube. All of this together led to more and more malnutrition, despite a very healthy appetite and, of course, that love for food. Mom lost more weight. She took lots of supplements. She frequently had to have infusions to try to keep her as healthy as possible. In the past few years, with weakened bones, what would be a small bump to us ended up fracturing her vertebra. Her hearing grew worse, as did her eyesight. She said, after all of these challenges, that the worst thing was losing her vision. She faced so many challenges, yet through it all, she looked for the good. She loved being with family, and she made the best of the situation that she never thought she would be in. I have watched with each of these challenges and found a woman patient in affliction and bravely and faithfully enduring to the end. She could have easily quit at any time or been angry with the world or God, but instead she remained faithful, loving, strong, and patient. She endured well. I could go on and share stories of how she served others, was a good friend, knew how to cheer well for her team or family. She supported others. She was diligent in callings and responsibilities, and she worked to make life easier for all around her. She saw people, and she never wanted to burden them, but she always wanted to lighten everyone's load. She had a heart full of gratitude, and she saw the beauty all around her. It would take all day to share the stories that I learned, that I've experienced and seen with all of these traits, but know that Nola Carling embodied a disciple of Jesus Christ. She loved well, she was faithful, and she endured trials and tribulations with patience, courage, and humor. I think it only fitting that I end my tribute to Mom the same way I ended my tribute to Dad. It's a poem that Mom loved by an author unknown. Goodbyes are not forever. Goodbyes are not the end. They simply mean, I'll miss you until we meet again. With love, Mom, until we meet again.
Thank you. So I'm going to do it shorter than 5 minutes, according to the stake president. So I guess when he grew up, he got in trouble, and this is where he ended up at. So I'd like to start my talk off, and I thank the family for it's an honor to do this. She's a great lady. I'd like to start with, I, Nephi, having born of goodly parents, therefore I was taught somewhat in all the learning of my father. And it goes, and then I, Troy Johnson, having been born of goodly parents, blah, blah. And I, Sherry, I, Doug, I, Diane, I, Neil, I, Jan, I, Vicky, have been born of goodly parents, because you have. I don't know that I could say any more than what was said today about their parents. What a great tribute to them. And it's evidence that you've been taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. We came on this earth to do this, to gain a body, to live. And it's part of the plan of salvation. There's a short story that Brother Briner had told me. I guess when his wife was expecting, I don't know if it was after Tamsin, because it talks about Tamsin, that Sister Carlene was involved. He was in a panic mode. I guess they had a bad hair day, and he needed some help. And Sister Carlene stepped in and took care of Tamsin's hair. And that's just one of the services that she gave. And over the years, I've been in the ward 41 years with both my wife and I, and the Carlings were part of that. And I going over to being called as a home teacher back then. Now it's a minister, but many a year we went over to the Carlings and got to know the family. And many a time there was blessings given. Many times it was just plumbing. That's my background, so there was many calls in that way, and I do appreciate that. And it's a great honor to be a part of the Carlin family, and being asked to talk about her, and about them, and about the way you've raised your children. And if you don't have children, there's the blessings that come to you by sharing what you've been taught. And I bear that testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before I share my remarks, I'll take care of some business. I'm not sure I'll be able to read after my remarks, so I better do it now. First of all, I would like to thank Cache Valley Mortuary for their services today. The graveside services will be at the Providence Cemetery. If anyone needs directions for that, please ask on your way out. And dedication of the grave there will be given by Doug Carling. The pallbearers today are a collection of sons, son-in-laws, grandsons, brother-in-laws. And they're listed as Doug Carling, Neil Carling, Rod Mosher, Darren Jarrett, Patrick Mosher, Chris Mosher, John Mosher, Hayden Mosher, Connor Mosher, Tegan Carling, Tyler Jarrett, Mac Carling, Weston Walker, and Jim Johnson. Following my remarks, we'll have a closing hymn on page 1004, which is in the blue binder, and the benediction will be offered by Darren Jarrett. I grew up in the neighborhood close by the Carlings, but not in the same ward. But I did know the family. I went to school with Doug, and we grew up in the same neighborhood. But I didn't come to know Brother and Sister Carling very well until after my mission, when there was a young adult stake, or not stake, sorry, young adult branch, which was formed, and there was not a branch president yet, but Brother Carling was the stake high councilman who became representative for our branch, and the sacrament meeting was conducted by the elders quorum presidency, which I was part of. And Brother Carling was a great example as a priesthood leader to me in his humbleness, his friendliness, compassion. And later when that branch became a full branch, with Grant Carling as the branch president, he had the privilege to interview my wife and I prior to being married in the temple. And that was when I got to know Brother Carling and Sister Carling as friends. I looked up to him. Well, let me back up a little bit. Our ward was then split, and my half of the 17th ward was added to the 3rd ward, where Grant Carling was part of the bishopric. And he was a great example to me, and alongside him was Sister Nola Carling, who was so kind and compassionate and sweet and tender, and as a couple, they just were everything I wanted to be. Not too long ago, I had a little bit of an epiphany, and I was visiting the primary, and I realized that if you want to see, some people have maybe heard me say this before, if you want to see God's greatest creation, if there is such thing as a most perfect creation, look into the face of a little primary girl. And to be fair, it's not that the young boys are any less perfect, but it's harder to see. They don't sit still long enough. But when you look into the face of a young primary girl, you can see God's most perfect creation. And over time, with work, practice, I've begun to recognize this in faces of the older women, women in general. And I've begun to understand the love that the Lord has for his daughters and the role that they play in our lives. Sister Carling is a great example of God's most perfect creation. As I looked at the pictures out in the foyer, I saw that in her face. She has always been an example to me, and their family will always be an example to me, and I want to thank them. And I'll close with that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity to get together as family and friends and loved ones to reflect on the life of a truly great, great woman and daughter of God, for the opportunity to share memories and stories, but most of all, to be blessed for her influence and impact into our lives. Father, we're so thankful for thy atonement of thy Son and for the peace and the strength that the gospel gives to us, knowing that families are forever and that we will be together again. We're so thankful for this knowledge, and we're thankful in the comfort of knowing that Grant and Nola are together again. We're so thankful for all those who came and took of their time to be here today, and for all those who have supported Nola in her final years and days. And we ask that there would be a blessing upon all those who have traveled, that they can, when the time comes, they can do so safely. And we ask a blessing on all those who loved and are in need of peace at this time, that they can feel of thy love and thy spirit and be comforted. And we say these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hello, everyone, please rise.